Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something really useful for drum and bass, an old-school DNB sampler rack in Ableton Live 12, and then we're going to make it do the heavy lifting with macro controls. Now, if you're new to this, don't worry, we're keeping it beginner-friendly, but the result can still sound seriously vibey. The whole idea here is not just to make a drum sound, it's to build a performance instrument, something you can actually shape across your arrangement so the same loop can feel filtered, gritty, spacious, tight, wide, and explosive, without constantly rebuilding everything. That's a big deal in DNB, because arrangement is everything. You can have a great breakbeat, a solid bass line, and a strong sample, but if nothing changes over time, the track can feel flat really fast. A macro-controlled rack solves that problem. It lets you move the energy forward with simple automation in arrangement view. So let's get into it. First, create a new MIDI track and load up drum rack. If you've got a chopped old-school break, you can drop that in. If you prefer, use individual kick, snare, and hat samples on separate pads. For beginners, I recommend keeping it simple. You want a kick, a snare, a hi-hat, and maybe one break slice lane or one looped break sample. If you're using simpler, drop your break into simpler and try slice mode if you want that classic chop jungle feel. If you want straightforward playback, use classic mode. Either way, the goal is the same: hit a solid drum source ready to shape. Go ahead and rename the track something clear, like old school drum rack. Color it if you want, and keep it near the top of your session so you can find it easily when you start automating. That sounds basic, but trust me, in DNB sessions, staying organized saves a lot of time. Now let's get the sound behaving. With your sample loaded, check the basics. If the break is too bright, lower the filter a bit. If the sample is too loud, bring the gain down so you've got headroom. If you're using one shots, keep them tight and punchy. If you're using a loop, think about how it'll sit in the track across different sections, not just how it sounds solo. A good beginner mindset here is, don't overdo it yet, just get a strong bass. Now we'll build the effect chain. A really solid starting chain for this kind of rack is simpler or drum rack source, then saturator, then auto filter, then drum bus, then utility. That chain gives you a lot of control without getting too complicated. Saturator adds grit and density. Auto filter lets you shape the tone and open or close the drums over time. Drum bus gives you punch, drive, and that extra smack. Utility helps with width and mono control, which is especially important in drum and bass, because your kick and snare need to stay focused and powerful. Start subtle. That's one of the biggest beginner mistakes in DNB. By the way, people crank the distortion too early and the groove gets blurry. You want the break to still feel musical. Try starting with saturator drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB. If you want a heavier section later, you can push it higher through automation. For auto filter, start with a cutoff low enough that the intro feels darker, maybe around 200 Hz or so depending on the sound. Then open it up later. Drum bus drive can sit around 5 to 20%, but don't slam it. And with utility, keep the low end centered. If you do widen anything, make sure it's more for the top percussion than the kick or snare body. Now for the fun part, macros. If your rack isn't already grouped as an instrument rack, group it so you get the macro controls at the top. Then click map and assign the most useful parameters to a small set of macros. Here's a strong beginner setup. One macro for filter cutoff. One macro for saturator drive. One macro for reverb amount or dry slash wet if you add a reverb. One macro for drum bus drive. One macro for width. One macro for sample start if you're using simpler. And one macro for output level or volume. You do not need to map everything in the world. That's another common beginner trap. Too many macros make the rack harder to understand, and then you stop using it creatively because it feels messy. Keep each macro with a clear job. A really useful way to think about the macros is emotionally. One control for cleaner to dirtier. One for closer to farther. One for tighter to looser. One for smaller to bigger. If a macro doesn't clearly help the arrangement, don't map it. You can even name them in a simple way. Tone, grit, bass, start, width, punch, dirt, level. Nice and clear. Now, this is where the arrangement concept really starts to matter. Instead of thinking of this as one static drum sound, think of it as three states. First, the intro state. That means darker, narrower, more atmospheric. Second, the drop state. Open, punchy, dry, and direct. Third, the breakdown or switch up state. Filtered again, maybe with more reverb or a bit more grit. That's the core DNB move here. You're not writing tons of extra drum parts. You're creating contrast with tone and energy. For example, in an 8-bar intro, you could automate the filter from dark and close to slightly more open over the phrase. Then at the drop, snap it open much wider. That contrast alone can make the drop feel way bigger, even if the actual loop is the same. That's a big lesson in drum and bass. Contrast often matters more than complexity. Now switch to arrangement view. This is where the macro rack becomes really powerful, because instead of editing every sound separately, you're just drawing automation on your main controls. Try this kind of movement. Open the filter slowly over 8 bars before the drop. Increase reverb a little in the breakdown, then cut it right before the drop. Push saturation up slightly in the last 2 bars before the drop. Nudge sample start forward if you want the break to feel tighter or more chopped in later sections. Close the width in the intro, then open it a bit on the higher percussion in the drop. Keep it musical. The changes don't have to be massive every time. In fact, in DNB, small automation moves every 2, 4, or 8 bars often sound more professional than huge obvious sweeps. A nice practical structure could be bars 1 to 8, filter drums, light hats, low space. Bars 9 to 16, a little more break presence and some ghost notes. Bars 17 to 24, breakdown with a bit more reverb and darker tone. Bars 25 to 32, full drop with open filter, more saturation, and stronger punch. And here's a really useful teacher tip. Listen to the drum rock by itself sometimes. Mute the bass, mute the music, and treat the automation like a DJ move. If the changes feel obvious and musical on their own, you're doing it right. Now let's make the groove feel alive. Once the macro system is working, add small variations inside the arrangement. Duplicate a snare and lower its velocity for ghost notes. Mute the kick for a beat before the drop. Automate the filter down briefly at the end of a phrase to create tension. Let the hats get a little wider in the second half of the section. This is where old-school DNB gets its character. You do not want everything perfectly rigid and robotic. The groove should breathe a little. If you want a roller-style feel, keep the changes subtle. Maybe just a little more open tone every 4 bars, and a touch more saturation in the second half of the phrase. That small movement can keep the loop from feeling stale without overdoing it. If you're aiming darker or heavier, you can be a bit more aggressive with the filter and resonance. Just stay careful with the low end. Always make sure the kick and snare remain strong in mono. Before you finish, do a quick cleanup pass. Check the low end with utility, and make sure your drum rack is mono-friendly where it needs to be. If the break is too harsh, use auto filter or EQA to trim some of the top end fizz. If you're using drum bus, be careful with the transient and crunch controls. They can add a lot of energy, but too much can destroy the old school feel. Also remember to leave headroom. If your drums are already too loud, the bass and effects won't have anywhere to sit later. A good rack should feel strong, but not maxed out. So the big takeaway is this: you're not just building a drum sound, you're building a controllable arrangement tool. The macros become your performance knobs. The same drum loop can feel like a filtered intro, a hard drop, or a roomy breakdown just by changing a few controls over time. That's the magic. For your practice, try making a 16-bar loop with 1 break or a simple drum rack. Add saturator, auto filter, drum bus, and utility. Map just 4 macros: filter cutoff, saturation drive, reverb amount, and width. Then automate the filter to open gradually, add a little drive before the drop, and create 1 short reverb swell at the end of a phrase. Keep the low end controlled and listen for arrangement impact, not perfection. If you can make the same drum loop feel like it evolves across the track, you've nailed the exercise. All right, that's the lesson. Build the rack, keep the macros simple, automate with purpose, and let the arrangement do the storytelling. In drum and bass, a few smart moves can sound huge.